40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Remember, VOA Olympic fans, the opening ceremony will be held August 5th at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. There will be competition in 28 sports, including one of the marquee events, athletics. The track and field action will be held during the last 10 days of the Rio Games, from August 12th to August 21st, and it will take place at the João Havelange Olympic Stadium, named after Brazil's former president of FIFA, World Football's governing body. One of the reigning Olympic champions who will compete at the stadium is David Rudisha, Kenya's world record holder at 800 meters. 4 years ago at the London Olympics, Rudisha clocked 1 minute and 40.91 seconds, the fastest time ever for the two-lap race. The 27-year-old Rudisha is getting ready for the Rio Olympics in China this week. David will compete in Saturday's IAAF Diamond League meet in Shanghai. At a news conference in Shanghai Thursday, the 2012 Olympic champion talked about his current fitness.
Of course, my ultimate aim is to be at the top form in August for Rio Olympics. But I'm also looking forward, you know, to improve from my last time in Australia, 144.7. So I'm looking forward for something like 143.5, and maybe perhaps a seasonal best will be a good performance for me.
That's David Rudisha, Kenya's Olympic champion and world record holder at 800 meters. And Rudisha was speaking Thursday in Shanghai, China. American sprinter Justin Gatlin, the 2004 Olympic champion in the 100-meter dash, will also compete in Saturday's Shanghai meet. The 34-year-old Gatlin has twice served bans for doping. Justin says before the Olympics, he first has to qualify for the Rio Games at the United States Olympic track and field trials in early July.
I would say that it's more intentional, you know, just to make sure that I'm in top form for the Olympic trials, which is going to be a tough task in front of me, and then also resting and getting ready for the Olympics. So I have two tough tasks in front of me, so I don't want to get too burnt out, you know, before the season even kicks off to the important part where I need to be at my top form.
American sprinter Justin Gatlin speaking Thursday in Shanghai, China. From China, let's go to the paradise island of Mauritius, located about 2,000 kilometers off Africa's southeast coast. That's where Australian golfer Andrew Dott leads after the first round of the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open Tournament. Reporter Mark Tompkins tells us more from the Four Seasons Golf Club at Anahita.
Well, on a day when the wind has blown quite hard again in Mauritius, scoring's been at a premium, and those going out this morning took advantage. The two players at the top of the leaderboard both posted early scores. Andrew Dott from Australia and Rashid Khan from India with 66s and 68s respectively. Dott at 6 under par with a two-shot advantage. Siddhika Rahman from Bangladesh has just finished his round this afternoon, a 68 from him as well, just one drop shot. Having started on the back nine, he picked up a 4 on the par 3 8th, pretty steady up until that point. Stanislav Goya, who started well in Morocco last week, He's at 3 under alongside the winner in Rabat, Jae-hoon Wang from Korea, who shot another excellent opening round here of 69. There are plenty of players closed up behind Andrew Dott. Lots of players down on 1 under par, and they will need to start strongly tomorrow. Hopefully in calmer conditions, we may well see some better scoring. Just 21 players under par after the opening day here in Mauritius. But it's Andrew Dott, the Australian, that leads the way on 6 under with a 2-shot overnight lead.
Mark Tompkins reporting from Mauritius. Mark talked about the wind blowing quite hard in Mauritius, keeping low scores at a premium. Mark asked first round leader Andrew Dott about the conditions.
It was pretty tough out there. I played really solid though. Only hit a couple of bad shots, held some key putts in the round to keep the momentum going. And at the end of the day, it added up to 6 under, so I'll take that.
You got off to a great start, didn't you? Birdies on the opening two holes starting on the back nine, so that set you up well, really.
Yeah, it did. I didn't hit a good second shot into 10 our first hole and managed to chip in, so that got the round going. And even 11, I hit it in the fairway bunker shot, hit it in the fairway bunker and hit a 7-iron out to about 2 feet. So it just got the round off on the right note, and it sort of continued from there.
I think it shows, you know, how impressive the score is when you take into account there's only a handful of players under par at the moment.
Yeah, I haven't seen the scores yet, but as I said, it was a solid round, and I think when you play well, the conditions don't really matter, and fortunately that happened to me today. But having said that, this course can just get up and bite you at any stage, so there's a long way to go and a lot of golf to be played.
That's a fantastic start. Well done.
Thanks, man.
That's Australian golfer Andrew Dott, the first round leader at the AfAsia Bank Mauritius Open Tournament. And Andrew was talking with reporter Mark Tompkins at the Four Seasons Golf Club at Anahita, Mauritius. From Mauritius, let's go to Nigeria, which recently hosted the second annual KEFI Polo Tournament. The so-called Sport of Kings does not have a large following in Nigeria. Some see it as elitist, and others say the rules are hard to understand. Reporter Chima Wankwo has more reaction for us from KEFI Polo Ranch outside Abuja, Nigeria's political capital.
The KEFI Polo Ranch came alive as it hosted 16 teams from across Nigeria. About 3,000 fans turned out to watch the 5th Chaka Polo Club of Kaduna take on the Kano Titans in the semi-finals. The crowd cheered as Argentinian player Manuel Crespo scored for Kaduna. He says, despite what people think, polo is not just for the rich.
No, not actually. It means that you have to have horses that are quite expensive, but people that really like it can come into the market, start working with them, become like a pro. And in Argentina, we are not rich guys that play polo. We are the old guys that comes from the horse families, and that's why we get involved in polo.
But what is the fascination with this sport that sees 8 grown men on horseback and armed with sticks chase a little rubber ball around the field? South African referee Clive Mormon has played since he was 5 years old.
It's a big thrill to get on the horse, to control a big animal, move it in different directions, stopping it, turning it, outwitting the other players. It's an exciting game. It's an adrenaline-filled game.
Each match is an hour and a half. The players can change horses every chukka or every 7.5 minutes of playing time. To score, you use your mallet to knock the ball in between the goalposts. But the rules aren't familiar to many Nigerians.
Basically, all the rules of polo are based on safety. It's to keep especially the horses and the players safe. And it all goes about the line of the ball, so you don't have people crossing in front of each other so they don't get ridden over, basically.
The riders move at speeds of up to 65 kilometers per hour. Nigerian Khalifa Ibrahim plays for the Kano Titans.
Well, to those that are not well, good riders, it's dangerous. But to me, I feel more safe in a horse than in a car.
But his team was overpowered by the older and more experienced Kaduna Club. The 5th Chukkas went on to win the tournament. The owners of the KEFI Polo Ranch say the proceeds of the event will go to charity. Chima Wankwo for VOA News, Abuja. VOA!
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brila FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brilafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. And more grease to the sporty elbows of you and our friends at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM in Nigeria. The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Thursday night with one game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. The Oklahoma City Thunder lead the San Antonio Spurs 3-2 and will be looking to close things out at their Chesapeake Energy Arena, affectionately called the Thunderdome by their fans. Oklahoma City star guard Russell Westbrook turned in a thunderous performance in Game 5, which the Thunder won 95-91 in San Antonio, Texas. Westbrook had 35 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. In NBA playoff results Wednesday night, the Toronto Raptors beat the Miami Heat 99-91 to take a 3-2 lead in that series. And the defending champion Golden State Warriors advanced to the Western Conference Finals with a 125-121 victory over the visiting Portland Trail Blazers. The Warriors won the series 4-1. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Hey, Sonny. Good to be here once again.
Welcome back, Dan. Let's begin with that dynamic backcourt of Golden State, nicknamed the Splash Brothers. They made quite a splash on Wednesday night on their home court. Klay Thompson, 33 points. Steph Curry, who just won his second consecutive League Most Valuable Player trophy, 29 points. Now, Klay may be overshadowed at points this season, Dan, by Steph Curry. What can you tell our Voice of America listeners about Klay Thompson?
Well, if you remember, a couple of years ago, the 2013-14 season, Klay Thompson maybe was considered just as good as Steph Curry. The Golden State backcourt was seemed like they were just trading off games. One game, Curry would have a big game of three-point shooting. Thompson would have a big game the next day. It's only been in the last couple of seasons that Curry has really elevated his game to a level where you can clearly say that he's the best or one of the two or three best players in the league. The interesting note about Klay Thompson is that his family is quite accomplished in the world of sports. His father, Michael, won 2 NBA titles in the 1980s as a key member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Klay Thompson has a 1-year younger brother who is a professional baseball player for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's been trying to make his way up the career ladder in Major League Baseball, and he has finally established himself as one of the outfielders for the Dodgers this year. And he had a big moment on Tuesday night. He hit the game-winning home run for the Dodgers.
Wow.
in the ninth inning to beat the Mets 3-2.
So the Thompson family with a lot to cheer about. And I like you mentioned, Dan, Klay Thompson, the son of a former NBA player like Steph Curry, whose father, Dell, played in the NBA. I imagine that must be lots of pride in those two families about what those two players have accomplished.
It's an interesting dynamic from everything that I've read to have a parent who is a professional athlete. On one hand, you're a child growing up and your father is on the road a lot playing games in other cities. Maybe you move from one city to another as your father's career continues. He's a free agent. He goes to a new city or he gets traded. So there's not a lot of attention that these kids get from their fathers when they're busy playing games, you know, for half the year. But there's something to be said for being around the environment, being around the big crowds, having the pressure of being the son of a famous player that makes these big moments, the playoff games, the record-setting games, the All-Star games, all of these things, they don't seem like they're as big of a deal to these kids of the former pro athletes than they are for somebody who is fresh on the scene, who doesn't have a parent who's been there before. It's really an interesting dynamic.
Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors now await the winner of the series between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. As I mentioned, Dan, the Thunder trying to close things out later Thursday night. And a quick shout out for Russell Westbrook. Speaking of dynamic guards, he seems to be playing really well right now, Dan.
The amazing thing about Oklahoma City, if you go back a couple of years, people forget that James Harden was a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
Now he's the big scorer for the Houston Rockets. Just think about where this team might be if Harden, Westbrook, and Kevin Durant had all stayed together, which they could have done, and they would have been in the playoffs this year playing together, possibly against Steph Curry and Thompson. Westbrook has established himself as one of the star players in the NBA. He's the kind of guy who can get points, rebounds, and assists all on the same night. He's absolutely strong enough to carry a team if he gets hot.
As you mentioned previously on one of our shows, Dan, you admit to being a native Clevelander, perhaps following LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they must, I think maybe they must have some smiles on their faces about how long this Toronto-Miami series is going. You know, they should be fully fresh for that, the winner of that series.
Let me correct you on one note. It's not just that I admit it. I'm proud to be a Cleveland native. But, I think a lot of people in Cleveland would be excited to see a Heat-Cavaliers Eastern Conference Finals because of LeBron's history of leaving Cleveland a few years back to go play in Miami, and now he's back in Cleveland again. He'll be going up against some of his former teammates if that were to come to be. But right now it looks like Toronto is the stronger team. They seem to be coming together a little bit better late in the playoffs. The thing about Toronto is that they were the number two team in the Eastern Conference this year. So it doesn't always work out that way in the playoffs with eight teams from each conference getting into the playoffs. But if Toronto does manage to make the conference finals against Cleveland, a well-rested Cleveland team for sure, it will be where the top two seeds made it all the way to the championship series. Cleveland has a pretty good history against Toronto. But you never know what will happen in the championship series. But as many games as Toronto is playing, and I saw something on social media earlier today that compared the series Miami and Toronto to a worldwide wrestling, WWF cage match with all these players getting hurt and knocked down. So if those two teams can go up against each other and land a few more punches, Cleveland will be happy.
Finally, Dan, bringing it back to Steph Curry before their victory on Wednesday night, he lifted high his second consecutive League Most Valuable Player trophy. Curry, the first unanimous choice in league history. I did see some criticism by at least one ex-player that said the league overall is not as strong anymore, that he won as the result of a weakened NBA. Your thoughts?
I think that's sounds more like sour grapes than anything else. I mean, Curry is the kind of player, and they've said this over and over, that he has revolutionized the game. I mean, when he helped Golden State break the record for the most wins in a season, there was a lot of analysis that came out of that game. And one of the main points is that players who shoot the ball a lot tend to become less efficient the more shots that they take. But Curry is so good that the point of the story that I read was if he took 10 or 15 more shots a game, he would maintain that consistency throughout the game. He might actually make Golden State better if he shot more, which is kind of counterintuitive. So I think Curry is up there with all of the good players in history as far as this MVP season compared to a season in the 80s or 70s or 60s. There's no doubt about it.
Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. Thank you, Dan. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you as always.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, big news out of Major League Baseball here in the United States. Max Scherzer, who is a pitcher for the Washington Nationals, last night struck out 20 batters. Now, this is an amazing feat. Not only did he strike out 20 batters, and did not walk any players. I think out of all the pitches that he threw, I think it was 120 some odd pitches, but 97 of them were strikes, which is just unreal. And to give you some perspective, Joe Giglio, who's a sports writer, he tweets this out. He says, 20 strikeouts, no walks in a game. That's Randy Johnson, who's a famous, very tall pitcher. Roger Clemens, of course, well-known pitcher. Kerry Wood, Max Scherzer. That's the whole list. Four players have done that in the history of Major League Baseball going back to the 1800s. So it really is an impressive feat for Max Scherzer. He tweeted out, he said, wow, unreal adrenaline flow going out there for the ninth and staring down the middle of the lineup. Well, hashtag what a game. So really, really great for him. So congrats to him on that. Really an amazing feat and one that social media is talking about, saying it's unreal. This only happens, you know, once every maybe 10 years or so, 15 years, even less frequently than that.
Congrats to Max Scherzer, and perhaps a little a sweet performance maybe, Andrew, because it came against his former club?
I think so. That was somebody tweeted out. They said, you know, he rejected an offer from the Detroit Tigers in 2014. 2015, he signed a bigger offer with the Washington Nationals. In 2016, he goes against his old club, the Detroit Tigers, strikes out 20 batters. So I think it was probably a very sweet very sweet milestone for him, for sure, and a momentous one. He actually received a congratulatory tweet from Kerry Wood, one of those four pitchers that we mentioned. And he said, congratulations to Max Scherzer on an impressive and dominant performance tonight. Welcome to the club. And Max Scherzer tweeted back at him, said, thanks, man. I loved watching your game as a kid, dreaming of doing the same. It's crazy to me now that we share the same feat. So that's a nice little back and forth between one of two of baseball's greatest pitchers, one idolizing the other even from when he was a kid.
Max Scherzer and the Nationals play their home games at Nationals Park, located within walking distance of our Voice of America headquarters.
Just a few blocks down from where we are. So when the weather gets better, we may have to sneak out. But no, we'll be here in the radio studio working diligently.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Another name that's trending, Hope Solo. Of course, she's the goalie for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. She's trending for a couple of different reasons. First, she's announced that she's going to go to the Rio Olympics. She had said that she might not go because of the Zika virus concerns. She's now saying that begrudgingly she's going. She's going to go right from her hotel to the practices, to the matches, and then go right back. She's not going to spend any time outside. And a lot of people on social media saying, well, it's really a tough decision for female athletes, and it puts them in a tough spot, trying to decide, do I go and try to win and succeed, and I've been training all my life for this, or do I try to put my health first? And especially if they want to, you know, start families, there can be ramifications for that for years afterwards if they potentially get infected with Zika virus. So she's come out and said this, and there may be a speculation that there may be other female athletes that say, okay, I'm going to go to the games, but I'm going to be very careful, just go to my events and then go back to the hotel.
If we look at the climate in Brazil, Andrew, it should be cooler in August during the Rio games, and perhaps there won't be as many mosquitoes out.
And that might be part of her decision, too, is deciding that, well, maybe there's less of a risk. And also the fact that they're favored to win. So I'm sure, you know, a gold medal potentially sweetens the deal and makes her say, well, maybe I should reconsider. Maybe I should go for it.
And Hope Solo, of course, kind of a lightning rod for controversy on the U.S. women's team. She has been in the headlines for not necessarily for her performance in front of the Nets.
Yeah, well, actually, that's another reason why she's trending. She released a video with Vox, the website, where she's talking about her lawsuit against the U.S. Soccer Federation for equal play for the female players. She's getting a lot of negative comments from people online, but people are saying, guess what? If the haters are going after us, that means we're doing something right.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the May 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Zimbabwe during 2015, the most important human rights problems remain the government's targeting of non-ZANU-PF parties and civil society activists for abduction, arrest, torture, abuse, and harassment. Partisan application of the rule of law by security forces and the judiciary, and restrictions on civil liberties. These are the findings of the U.S. Department of State in its recently released country report on human rights practices around the world. The report notes that Zimbabwe had many other human rights problems. Prison conditions were harsh. The government's expropriation of private property continued. Executive political influence and interference in the judiciary continued, and the government infringed on citizens' privacy rights. The government generally failed to investigate or prosecute state security or ZANU-PF supporters responsible for violence. Authorities restricted freedoms of speech, press, assembly, association, and movement. The government continued to evict citizens, invade farms, private businesses and properties, and demolish informal marketplaces and settlements. The government also arrested, detained, prosecuted, and harassed non-governmental organization members. Government corruption remained widespread, including at the local level. Violence and discrimination against women, child abuse, trafficking of men, women, and children, and discrimination against persons with disabilities, racial and ethnic minorities, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex persons, and persons with HIV/AIDS were problems in Zimbabwe. The government there interfered with labor-related events. Zimbabwe's government took limited steps to punish security sector officials and ZANU-PF supporters who committed violations, but impunity continued to be a problem. In the arena of human rights, every government has the ability to improve, including the United States, said Secretary of State John Kerry. He noted that the contents of the 2015 report renew our commitment to promoting and protecting universal human rights, to supporting and defending civil society in its peaceful efforts to hold governments accountable, and to working with our partners to advance peace, development, human rights, and democracy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Batty, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
African music hits.
Everyone is looking for something special when maybe they should just listen instead. The VOA's African Music Mix will soothe your nerves and calm your head. Tune in from 0 to 300 UTC and 1100 to 1300 hours UTC to make you feel good. So treat yourself to that something special.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss whether there's a need for a fundamental change in U.S.-Africa relations. Join host Shaka Sali and his guests as they discuss U.S.-Africa relations next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.